in Torah, for those of us who are open to Pnimiyas HaTorah and Chassidus, it's important to learn a halachic sugya and ask yourself, you know, how does this apply, not only in a strictly halachic context, but in Pnimiyas HaTorah, in the deeper realms of Avodas Hashem. What can I learn for this? What's the message here? I didn't find so much in answer to that question, but I hope you'll think of things along the way, and we'll share what we have together. The Mishnah that begins. Yeah? Okay, so you'll look. You'll do your research. I'm still researching. So if you find something, please let me know. Okay, Maseches Pesachim, Tzadi Tesamid Beis. The Gemara, the Mishnah tells us, Erev Pesachim Samach L'Mincha Lo Yochal Adam Ad Shetachshach. On Erev Pesach, close to the time for Mincha. Now, Samach in Chazal usually means a half hour before. A half hour before Mincha time. Which, of course, is always followed up by the question, well, which Mincha are we talking about? There's Mincha Gedola, there's Mincha Ketana. Okay, those of us who've learned Brachos know these questions that Chazal typically ask when you use the word Samach and you use the word Mincha. But either way, the Mishnah at the beginning of Arvei Pesachim, which is according to Tosos, the Girsa, right? You'll see the Girsa in front of us says Erev Pesachim. That was a Machlokas Rishonim. Should it be Erev Pesachim? Should it be Arvei Pesachim? But Erev Pesachim, we'll use the gears that we have in front of us. Erev Pesachim, Samach L'Mincha, a half hour before Mincha, let's assume Samach means a half hour, Lo Yochol Adam Ad Shetachshach. A person should not eat, he should refrain from eating from that point forward, Ad Shetachshach, until it becomes dark, until it's nighttime. Says the Gemara in the third line, My Irya Arve Pesachim, Afilo Arve Shabbos, Asuyam Tovim Nami. Why is the Mishnah telling us that on Erev Pesach there's a big inyan not to eat too much on Erev Pesach? That's true for every Yom Tov. It's true for every Erev Shabbos. A person should come to the Shabbos meal with a certain appetite. A person should come to any Yom Tov meal. D'tanya, as the Brisa that teaches, Lo yochal adam ba'arve shabbosos v'yom tovim min ha'minchu l'mala. Kadeshi yichanis ha'shabbos kishuhu ta'aveh. A person should come into Shabbos, right, to eat b'te'avot with a hearty appetite. That's part of the way that we honor Shabbos, by eating on Shabbos. That's Oneg Shabbos. It's not colored Shabbos, but it's Oneg Shabbos. Of course, a real Litvak would say, so why do people say L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh before they take a bite of their fish? It's not according to the Gruz definition of Kavod Shabbos. Right? Like we learned last year, the Gruz definition of Kavod versus Oneg is Kavod is Erev Shabbos, and Oneg is on Shabbos. So you should say L'Oneg Shabbos Kodesh if you want to be really firm. That's not the Minhag Yisrael. It's not the Minhag Yisrael. Minhag Yisrael says L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. If I'm also really from, you could do it to Chedush Arem, who said, you don't have to announce every time you do something for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just think to yourself, L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. It's also what to talk about there. But the point is, you come to Shabbos and you're hungry for Shabbos food. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara goes on, disagrees. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Ochel V'Holech Ad Shetachshach. Rabbi Yossi, for whatever reason, wasn't concerned with this. But Rabbi Yehuda was. And Rabbi Yehuda was concerned not only by Pesach, he was concerned by Shabbos. He was concerned by Yom Tov. So what does it mean when the Mishnah says, on Erev Pesach, make sure you don't fill up? The Gemara gives two answers to this question. Rav Huna is the first answer, Rav Papa is the second answer. The Gemara says, we don't like Rav Papa, it doesn't make so much sense. So the Gemara in the end says, Machvarta kid Rav Huna, it's clearer like Rav Huna. So that's why I only gave you Rav Huna. But you should know, the Gemara has multiple answers to this question. Amar Rav Huna, Lo tzricha el Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi who on Yom Tov, on a regular Yom Tov, other Yom Tovim, and the Rabbi Yossi who on Erev Shabbos says, eat all you want until it gets dark, that same Rabbi Yossi would agree that on Pesach, we up the ante. On Pesach, you can't eat until the last minute. Lo tzricha el Rabbi Yossi. The same Rabbi Yossi who told us, Da'amar, Ocha v'holech ad shetachshach. When does Rabbi Yossi say you can keep eating and keep eating and keep eating? Hani mili ba'arve shabbosos v'yom tovim. But even Rabbi Yossi would agree. Be'erev Pesach, mishum chiyuva de matzah, moda. Rabbi Yossi is moda. Who's he moda to? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, again, by every Yom Tov, by Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat too much. Rabbi Yossi says, you're allowed to eat whatever you want. What's the exception? What's the one time that Rabbi Yossi agrees you can't eat whatever you want? On Erev Pesach. So therefore, our Mishnah is reflecting Shitas Rabbi Yossi, that even Rabbi Yossi agrees, Erev Pesachim, Samach L'Mincha, Lo Yochal Adam Ad Shetachshach. Okay? Clear? Mishnah? Gemara? Fine. Don't be shy. If you have questions, don't be shy. Says Tosfos, source number two, what am I not eating? What am I not eating? And when am I not eating? So first Tosfos points out, lo yochol adam, perish, afilu hispala. We have a Mishnah, Mesechah Shabbos, on the Daf Tesamid Beis, that gives a whole list of things you're not allowed to do until what? Until you daven mincha. Why? Because we're concerned you're either going to get carried away with what you're doing, or something could go wrong with what you're doing. For example, a person should not sit down to get a haircut, says the Mishnah, until what? Until he first davened mincha. What are we concerned about? Let's say your barber always takes 6 minutes to buzz your head. What's the big deal? What could go? What could, you know? He's not going to get like carried away. He's not the type of barber who cuts each hair, you know, in a very stylish way. He buzzes your head. It takes 6 minutes from start to finish. Mincha's in an hour. No problem. What's the concern? Oh, what if the shaver breaks and you're left with half a haircut? Right? So you're going to wait until he gets another shaver. So then you're going to miss mincha. So there, it's not a concern that you're going to get carried away with the haircut. We're concerned something could go wrong with the haircut. Sitting down to eat a meal. What are we concerned about there? We're not concerned something's going to go wrong with the meal, like the suda that the Maharshal made when he made that siyam besechta. For those who know what I'm talking about, hopefully many of you. Right? But what are we concerned about by the meal? We're concerned you're going to get carried away with the meal. And you're going to get so involved in the eating and drinking that you're going to miss mincha. Okay? So normally you're not allowed to have a meal, bikoveya suda, until you first daven mincha. So it says Tosfos, lo yochol adam, on Erev Pesach, even, afilu ispala, even if you did daven mincha already, you still can't have a big meal. Meaning during the week, as Tosfos says, continues, kedamrina b'gemara, dibelo ispala tfilas mincha, if you haven't daven mincha, afilu b'shari mos hashana aser. You're never allowed to have a big meal until you daven mincha. So the case of our mission must be, even if you daven the mincha, erev psachim, lo samach lemincha, lo yochol adam ad shetechshach, you still can't eat a big meal. Okay? That's the first point that Tosfos clarifies. Now, what exactly were we being asked not to eat? Says Tosfos, v'im tomar ma lo yochol, what should we not eat? Eat matzah, if you'll tell me you can't eat matzah late in the afternoon on erev Pesach, afilu kodim nami aser. You're not allowed to eat matzah already before that time period. We'll have to see when. When does one have to stop eating matzah? Do I have to stop eating matzah all of Chodesh Nisan? Do I have to stop eating matzah on the night of Bedikas Chametz? Do I have to stop eating matzah on the morning of Erev Pesach? Do I have to stop eating matzah by midday of Erev Pesach? When can I not eat matzah? That we're going to discuss. But the Yerushalmi is clear that kol ha'ochel matzah be'Erev Pesach ki'ilu bo'el arusaso beis chamav. A person who eats matzah too early. Now, when is the time for matzah? The Torah says. Give me three words that the Torah says. When is the time for matzah? Three words. Be'erev tochlu matzos. Shkoyach Mikey. Be'erev tochlu matzos. So we know that at some point before that, there's a restriction, says the Yerushalmi, not to eat matzah. So when our Mishnah comes along and says, Erev Pesach samach lemincha, don't eat, says Tosfos, don't eat what? Matzah, I certainly can't eat from already beforehand. The iba mine targima, says Tosos. If you're saying it's referring to other types of smaller snack items, ha'amar b'gamara, avamatabel huba mine targima, but that I can eat. I can eat that, I can munch on potato sticks, right? Or a carrot stick, or whatever other item you can scrounge around that Erev Pesach when everyone's starving, right? You'll find something to snack on, and you can do that beyond Erev Pesach, samach l'mincha. Right, that this restriction of our Mishnah does not apply to eating a bag of potato chips. So what are we being told not to eat late in the afternoon on Pesach? V'yesh lomar, says Tosfos, da'ari b'matzah shira. Must be, it's talking about matzah which is not fit for the Seder. So therefore it does not have the restriction of eating the real matzah too soon, because this is not the real matzah. But it's something that is like a meal, and we're concerned that if you eat a meal-like item, not a snack item, but a meal item, late in the afternoon, it's going to ruin the Seder. We'll see exactly what it's going to ruin, but that's what we're concerned about. So says Tosfos, when it comes to matzah ashira, what does matzah ashira mean? Rich man's matzah, as opposed to matzah which is lechem oni. What makes matzah rich?
Fruit juice.
If you put in fruit juice, or eggs, or wine, if you put in anything other than the basics of flour and water, it becomes rich matzah, and it's not fit to be used as the matzah's mitzvah, the mitzvah matzah. Okay, so we shouldn't eat that. That's not a violation of the Yerushalmi. It's not considered eating matzah in Erev Pesach, because that's not matzah. But it is considered a violation of filling up late in the afternoon, which could, says the Mishnah, somehow ruin the Seder. We'll have to see how. Okay? But now that we've come to this Yerushalmi from the first Tosfos, not the first Tosfos actually, one of the first Tosfos, in the Perek Arvei Pesachim, which is all about the Seder night, let's try to explore this Yerushalmi. Yes? David?
Is that
matzah is not considered chametz? No. You can make matzah, which is kosher la Pesach, but it's not. It doesn't meet the requirements of lechem oni, poor man's bread. Because a poor man doesn't have wine or fruit juices or eggs to add to his matzah. But it could certainly be kosher lepesach. Okay? Good question. Okay, what is this Yerushalmi? So let's see the actual Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is in the 10th parak of Pesachim. Halacha Aleph, source number 3. Amar Rabbi Levi, ha'ochel matzah be'erev Pesach kuba al rusasa be'beis chamav. A person who eats matzah too early, prematurely, is like a person who has relations with the girl he is halachically engaged to, bebeis chamav, in his father-in-law's house. Okay? And we know that chuppah, nisuin, takes place primarily, it's machlokas, we've shown him what details of chuppah actualize this principle, but the basic goal of nisuin is what? Is to transfer from her father's rishus to her husband's rishus. So we've been learning in Ksubas. So therefore, a person who's sleeping, living in an intimate fashion with the girl he's engaged to in his father-in-law's house is jumping the gun. So too, a person who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is jumping the gun. And a person who has relations with his arusa, the girl he had Arusin with, in his father-in-law's house, gets lashes. Okay? Now, I want to point out, there's a Gemara in Kedushin. You don't have it on the page in front of you. Kedushin Yud Bezim and Bez. You know Kedushin Yud Bezim and Bez. Who knows? I'll be so happy if someone can tell me why you know Kedushin Yud Bezim and Bez. I'll be filled with simcha.
His hint.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint.
Didn't share.
Haisha Niknes, Bekesef Shtar and Bia.
Oh.
No, that's... But don't get too excited. That's Kedushin Bezim and Alash. What's Kedushin Yud Bezim and Bez? No. Kesef Shtar and Bia. Emphasis on the third method of Kedushin.
Oh,
very good. Rav would give lashes to a person who's Mekadesh B'Bia. Kedushin Yud Bez Mod Bez is a whole list of things that Rav would give lashes for. If you're Mekadesh a girl in the marketplace, Rav says that's very inappropriate, and I'm going to give you lashes for that. One of the things on that list, Kedushin Yud Bez Mod Bez, is that Rav would give lashes to a person who's living with his in-laws before Nisuin. Now, that's not exactly what this Yerushalmi is. This Yerushalmi says that what? That eating matzah on Pesach is like having relations with the girl you're engaged to in your father-in-law's house. Is that the same thing that it's saying in Kedushin Yud Bez Mod Bez? That Rav would give lashes for living in your father-in-law's house? You know what Rashi interprets, and it's sort of based on that Gemara over there? You know what the prohibition, you know what's the concern of living in one's father-in-law's house before one is fully married? So you'll say, yeah, you're engaged to this girl, and you might come to get involved in an intimate way with the girl. Wrong! You know what Rashi says? You know what you're going to get involved with? Your future mother-in-law. So Rashi says? Rashi says that a mother-in-law has a certain affinity for her son-in-law, and therefore, until her son-in-law is actually married to her daughter, we're concerned that maybe he'll get involved with his mother-in-law. So other Rishonim say, so why does it say that a person shouldn't live, Rav would give lashes for a person who lives in his father-in-law's house? It should say what? Lives in his mother-in-law's house. So therefore, other Rishonim say, Tosos, it's not in Kedusha, I think it's in Pesachim. Toso says, it's referring to a concern that maybe what? That he'll come to have relations with the girl he's engaged to. We're not worried that he's going to strike up an affair with his mother-in-law. But either way, haba ala rusasa, a person who does have relations prematurely, gets lashes. Okay? Does a person who eats matzah on Erev Pesach prematurely get lashes? So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. But this is the Yerushalmi in source number 3. Yes, Avram.
So did they give lashes to all the guys in Yehuda?
Rav was giving out lashes to a lot of people, the Gemara says.
No, I'm saying like,
even if you walk past your father-in-law's house, the Gemara says that Rav gave lashes. But that was because that mother-in-law was known to be a little bit of a prutzadika woman, so even going in her vicinity was considered off-limits.
No, like they were with
you said the time of Yehuda.
Yeah, when they were lit, right, in Yehuda where they had that different practice. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Right, some places. Now again, that's a minhag. That was a heter. Okay, and that we'll see again. Of course, plays into the question of the permissibility of it. Right, meaning is it even mutter midaraisa? So we said according to Rav Rishonim, living with one's wife after erusin, having beer with one's wife after erusin, midaraisa is permitted. But we'll come back to that point in a few minutes. Okay, what is this strange comparison? Now again, I want you to think also in Bederach Drush, to try to think, to come up with a svara, what Chazal are hinting at their infinite wisdom by saying that if you eat matzah on Erev Pesach, it's like being Boa Arusasa. By the end of this year, we'll see maybe a little something. But I found five different approaches in the Rishonim. What is this comparison? Okay? The first approach is found in some Rishonim, and that is, it shows the same lack of control that exists by a person who has Bia with the girl he's engaged to before they get to Nisuin, is the same type of lack of control that causes a person his excitement for the matzah, which is a beautiful thing, to be excited to eat the matzah. Remember I told you the other week from the Rav Shitzer's son, his vart in the Pasuk in the Tochacha? By the Tochacha it says, at night you're going to say, when's it going to be morning? And in the morning you're going to say, when's it going to be night? So I told you the Rav Shitzer in the Sefer Ayala Shlucha, the Rav Shitzer's son, says, at night you're going to say, when is it morning? That refers to Sukkos. When am I going to be able to be Mekayim in the mitzvah of taking the lulav and etzor? And by day I'm going to say, when's it going to be night already? That's when? Erev Pesach. When I'm longing be'erev tokh l'matzah, to eat the matzah. So it's a very beautiful thing that you have a cheshek to eat the matzah. But it shows the lack of self-control if you can't wait till it's nighttime. The Or Zeruah. One of the great Rishonim, we saw the Or Zeruah a little while back. Right? Or Zeruah was the one who was telling us about having a wedding at night and getting divorced at night. The Or Zeruah writes in Chelek Beis, Reishon and Vav, source number 4, Uva matza aser, dechol ha'ochel matza bar pesach hilo bo'al risasu beis chamav, perish, shu gargara. What's a gargara? A gluttonous person. A person who clearly does not have his taivas in check. And that's what the Or Chaim, again one of the Rishonim, writes. In Simen Kuf Yud Dalet, source number 5, Ha'ochel loke, if you eat matzah early, you will get lashes. Perish, al she'eino moshel berucho ad eis ha'heter. He shows that he doesn't have restraint, self-restraint. Lastly, the Lavush, in source number 6, also echoes this idea. Lavush is a great work of halacha, not a Rishon. But you could call it maybe a borderline Rishon, I guess an early Achron maybe is a better way to say it. He quotes again the Rishonim, and he writes where it's boded. De kamosha bo'al rishasu bo'odu b'beis chamav loka le'amakus mardus midrabanan. A person who has relations prematurely will get lashes from the rabbis for violating their restraining order on a man after Erisin. Al shemara godel ta'avaso. He shows that what? He's a bal ta'iva. V'shulot v'shotuv b'zima. The fact that he doesn't wait till the marriage is complete before having relations, he's a person who's showing that I'm obsessed with Zima, with Arayos. I can't control myself. And reciting the Sheva Brachos. He shows that he's again a person of great taiva, a gluttonous person, no restraint. And he was refusing to wait until the night. So this is approach number 1 that you find in some Rishonim in Sifrei Halacha. Again, the comparison is that these two individuals show the same lack of self-control. A second approach in the Rishonim. The Ritva, very fascinating. This I only found late last night. I was very excited to find this. The Ritva in Maseches Pesachim says the following. What's the comparison between eating matzah prematurely to having relations with this girl prematurely? Says the Ritva. Now the Ritva in Pesachim is—it's interesting the way that it's written, and I'm not sure. I feel like there's a story that goes with it, and I couldn't get my hands on the Masada Rav Kook edition of the Ritva in our Beis Medrash this morning. But very often the pieces in the Ritva say Kosov Harit. Now Kosov Harit is the Ritva. Rav Yom Tov was his name. I'm not sure why in Pesachim it always introduces his comment Kosov Harit. I think probably because the Ritva in Pesachim maybe was discovered later, and it was maybe collected differently. So very often the piece is actually, right? I mean, if the Ritva is writing, why does it say Kosov HaRit? Is he introducing himself? He doesn't do that in Ksubas, for example. So I'm not sure what that's about, but it does appear in many places in the writings of the Ritva and Pesachim. So it says, in the end of the second line, in source 7, Kosov HaRit. Everyone see where I am? Says the Rit, because the Ritva says, "Danachon shelo namar elba matzah ruil etesba." Okay, it's only referring to that type of matzah, which is the matzah you will use at the Seder. We saw that already in Tosos, that if it's matzah ashira, that's not the matzah that's being restricted on Erev Pesach or the entirety of Erev Pesach. Shehi ha'arusa, the matzah that you're going to eat at the Seder is like the girl you're engaged to. Why? Ki hi mitzah rishona shenitztavu ba'Yisrael. Just like Erusin is stage one of marriage, it's the initiation of a halachic relationship with this girl, right? It's a halachically binding relationship. If she cheats on him, she's going to be chayav misa. If he wants to call it off after Erusin, they need a get. So says the Ritva, so too, the matzah that we eat, matzah was really the first mitzvah the Jewish people were given. Now you're going to all say, I know what you're all going to say, matzah is not the first, Isaac said it during Seder, it's not the first mitzvah. Achonesh Zalachem, we normally assume, is the first mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. So we have to work on this Ritva a little bit, try to understand. Again, I didn't get a chance to look in the Masada of Cook footnotes. I'm sure it's addressed. Do we assume that matzah was really the first mitzvah that the Jews had? It's certainly a special mitzvah, but I'm not sure that I would call it the first mitzvah. Certainly not the first mitzvah in the Sefer HaChinuch. It's not traditionally understood as the first mitzvah in Parshas Bo, right? So I'm not sure. But certainly a relationship was formed, and I think when we get to the punchline of the Shir, when we get to see the comments of the Shem and Rosh, which is a beautiful Sefer on Pesach, on Chag HaPesach, where Asher Anshel Katz, who's a Gadol B'Torah, and a Hasidus who lives today, he lives in Williamsburg, I believe. I think we'll understand the Ritva better. How there's a certain marriage that takes place between a Jew and a piece of matzah. And it'll help us to understand what it means, that there's a certain bond that maybe goes beyond the Chodesh Elohim, that our real first bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was through Achilas Matzah. The same way that when a person got halachically engaged, that's when he attached himself with a sense of permanence. And a sense of halachic rigor to this girl. Okay, now, what would you like to say?
No, I got it.
Okay? But we have to work on this Ritva a little bit. This is a second approach. A third approach. What's the comparison between eating matzah too early and being bo al rusah? So says the Avudraham, Rabbi David Avudraham, source number 8. He has, and Avudraham is one of the great sources of minhagim. Why don't we say, Shasim chav mo'ano at a pidyon ben? Who does the Ramah quote? He quotes the Avudraham, as we saw. So the Avudraham writes by Haggadah Shal Pesach, She'osar lecho matzah be'er Pesach, quotes the Yerushalmi, Perish. What's the comparison between eating matzah and having bia with the girl he's engaged to? Perish. Ma bo'al rusasu be'beis chamav loka, afzeh loka. The Avudraham says, I'll tell you a simple comparison. They both get lashes. Eating matzah prematurely gets lashes. Having relations with this girl prematurely gets lashes. That's it. That's the whole comparison. These are two examples. So you'll say, well, so pick a different example. Other things you get lashes for. But the Avudraham says the simple comparison between the two is that both of them come with consequences. Namely, that you're going to get makas mardus. You're going to receive lashes, rabbinic lashes, for violating the halacha. Okay. So we have three approaches so far. I told you I have five. So let's do two more. The Maharal in the Gvuras Hashem, which is the Maharal's beautiful work on Mitzrayim, Gulas Mitzrayim, and Golas Mitzrayim. Maharal in the 48th chapter says a very interesting pshat. And again, for those of us who've really immersed ourselves in Ksubis, it'll resonate with us. The Maharal says, we'll read at the end of the first line. V'atam hu, what's this comparison in the Yerushalmi? Mipnei shemin chatzos nesar bechomitz, v'adayin lo igia shas mitzvos matzah ara erev. The Maharal says the comparison to Arusa is that Erusin kind of leaves you in limbo. Remember we saw the Mishnah? We saw the Mishnah later in the Masechta Daf Nun Ches? Is the Mishnah? Where's the Mishnah? That says there used to be a year in between, right? Erusin and Kedushin? Where's that Mishnah? Nun Vav? Nun Vav? Nun Vav? Nun Vav? Nun Zayin Amarav. Nun Zayin Amarav, we give a year. And we said that what? The Gra explains, Minaga Gaonim, why do we close that gap? Because you're living in limbo. It doesn't make sense. You're halakhically married, but you're rabbinically restricted. It can lead to only problems. So says the Maharal, that's exactly how a Jew feels at Erev Pesach. He's after the time of Chametz, but he's not yet eligible for Matzah. And he's surviving on potato sticks. That's a mitzvah of a Jew on Erev Pesach. There's nothing to eat. I can't eat bread. I can't eat matzah. So what am I supposed to do? So says the Maharal. that from Chatzos a person becomes Aser and Chametz, Midaraisa. V'adai lo yashas mitzvas matzah to Erev. V'dom yila arusa, that's just like Erusin, that's like halachic engagement. Shenes arsa li'ish echad, she's now locked herself in with this particular man, to the exclusion of all other men. V'adai lo yigiyas man, li'os muteras lo achas nisuin, yet she's not even permitted to the man who she's permitted to. The man who she's committed herself to the exclusion of all others, she's still not even allowed to be with him. That's the feeling on Erev Pesach. Lakach. Now look at the Maharal ads. It's beautiful. Lakach. Lo amar ha-yoshev besukah be'erev Pesach. Be'erev Sukkis. Davi kabal ha-risasso. Says the Maharal, why don't you find the same thing on any other Yom Tov? A person who sits in the sukkah before the Zman of Sukkis, it's kabal ha-risasso. Why doesn't he make that comparison? Why don't Chazal make that comparison? The answer is very obvious now. The Hasam Shani, Sharei Ein Sham Arusa, the Lo Ne'esar Habayis Mileishev Sham. When the sukkah becomes eligible, it's not that the house becomes usher and the sukkah becomes eligible. You're not caught in limbo, that there's a time period where you're not allowed to be in your house, but you're not yet allowed to be in the sukkah. That dimyon, that comparison, is only true by Pesach, where a person gets trapped between chametz and matzah. He's not eligible to eat matzah yet, but chametz is already aser. So he feels stuck. That's exactly about the Erev Pesach, last line. The Nesar chametz will yigiyas man matzah. That's exactly the feeling of a person, b'shas erusin. Question?
It's only from her perspective?
Not from both.
I'm just wondering.
You're saying it's more from her perspective because he's not aser to everyone else. He could take another wife. Okay. So why is it bothering us? Okay, I hear.
That's what we were. But
he's also feeling stuck. On the simple level, he's feeling stuck. I'm half married to this girl. I'm halachically bound to her, which comes with responsibilities and rights and considerations, halachic considerations. And yet, she's still living by her father-in-law. So that's a frustrating feeling. That's exactly what Erev Pesach is, says Maral. Yeah?
I'm not sure if I understood. Does he explain why Erev Sukkis?
Because in Sukkis, there's no period where you're caught in limbo. There's no period where you say, get out of the house, but you can't yet go into the sukkah. The house doesn't become usher. Bread becomes usher. And matzah is not yet mutter. Not yet a mitzvah. It's off limits. So you're stuck in limbo. Dafka on Pesach, says the Maharal. Very brilliant answer. Okay? The last approach, and it's something that some of the Rishonim who we mentioned already allude to, or maybe more than allude to, and that is that just like, what's the comparison to Boal Rishasso? Just like for the girl to become permitted to you, you need to have chuppah. You need to have nisuin. But part of that process is what? Sheva brachos. So too, a person doesn't come to achilas matzah until you have sheva brachos with your matzah. What are the sheva brachos a person has with his matzah? Says the Or Zarua, in source number 10, he says, I heard, Marino Harav Meir mi Provence. Provence is southern France. Many of the Chayim, top of the Chachmei Provence, the great Bali Tosfos, flourish in Provence, in southern France. I heard from Rav Meir of Provence, Shamati, de medamo chamatza bera pesach lebol arisah. So mishom, she teuna zayin brachos belayla kodem achilasa. Matzah. It takes 7 brachos to get to matzah the same way, kamosha arusa teuna kodman, she tibayel beheter. So too, just like a girl needs to have sheva brachos before she becomes mutter to you, so too the matzah needs sheva brachos before the matzah becomes mutter to you. Okay? Now, what are the sheva brachos? So Mikey asked me during Seder, what are the sheva brachos here? I start counting up the brachos that a person recites before you get to eat the matzah, and I have quite a few different ways of calculating. So what are the sheva brachos? If you look in the Shiboli on Leket, he starts off by quoting his brother that many people in Erev Pesach are starving. That's the first thing he points out. People don't know what to eat on Erev Pesach. And it can be a very troublesome situation. And then he quotes this idea that just like to get to marriage you need 7 brachos, so too, to get to matzah you need 7 brachos. And then he tells us, the Shibboleth Lekha tells us, I'll tell you what I think the 7 brachos are. What are the 7 brachos? He writes, right after where it's bolded, Ve'elohein. Kos harisho, in the first cup of wine, how many brachos does it get?
3.
The first cup of wine, mavarich alav gimel brachos, yayin kiddush zman. Bray priya gafen. Right? Kiddush, kaddish the yom tov, and zman is? Shechianu. So we're up to 3. Kaddish, orchatz. Do we make a bracha and do orchatz? We don't do a bracha. What's next? Karpas. We make bray priya dama. Achilas Yerakos Mavarch Brei Pri Adama Lacher Kiddush Harei Arba. We're up to four. Kos Sheni, the second cup of wine, Mavarch Alav Lacher Agada Harei Chamisha. And I want to pause for a moment. The Svaridim are fine. The Ashkenazim in the room should be the ones who say, hold on a second. Two brachos. Right? Minag Ashkenaz is to make another Hagafen and to make the bracha at the end of Magid. So clearly the Shibboleth Aleket is following that approach which many Rishonim held, which is you don't make another Brei Pri Hagafen. Why'd you make another Brei Pri Hagafen? Okay? We mentioned once that Reb Shechter in his Gidas Egos has an essay about this. Because it's the same question that comes up at a wedding. Why do I make a separate Brei Pri Hagafen on Birchas Erusin and Birchas Nesuin? Make a bracha Brei Pri Hagafen before Birchas, as part of Birchas Erusin, and then you make Brei Pri Hagafen as the first of the Sheva brachas. Or an eighth bracha, really. So, who's we?
Us,
Ashkenazim, yeah. By a wedding? By Pesach? By Pesach, we say Brei Pri Hagafen four times. Okay. Kiddush, at the end of Magid. What's next? Benching. And then at the end. We have four cups of wine. Maybe even a fifth cup of wine. For those who come to Sunday Shir. Okay? So we're up to five cups of wine. We're up to five brachos. Three on the first cup of wine. Hadama by Karpas. Right? One bracha after. So which bracha is that? That's not Brei Pri Hagafen. If he's picking one bracha at the end of Magid, he's not picking Hagafen. He's picking Asher Galanu, the bracha that we recite at the end of Magid. So we're up to five.
Even seven different brachas. Even if you say I got here, he said.
Okay, interesting. I didn't think of that. Okay, we'll have to see. Maybe interesting. V'hi teuna hamotzi v'alchilas matzah. And before you actually eat the matzah, it, namely the matzah, requires two more brachos: hamotzi and alchilas matzah. So that's a seven. So kadosh orchatz karpas yachatz Magid. Rachsa. What happened to Netilas Yadayim? Make a bracha there. So he says, Netilas Yadayim lo chashiv. I know you're going to say, why don't you count Netilas Yadayim as one of the brachos? I didn't count it. She'i efter shalo natal yadav v'achila v'tamo k'tzapichas b'dvash. He says, this idea that I've heard is very good, but Netilas Yadayim doesn't count because it's just a hechatimsa to eat it. You can't get to achila without it, but it's not really one of the brachos that are special to the night of Pesach. So those are his seven. Okay, I like what John pointed out, that again, it could be maybe Brei Pri Hagafen, but we're not going to count that as a unique brach, as an independent brach. The Avudraham, in source number 12, also puts together what he considers to be the list of the seven brachos, and he writes at the end of the second line, Ve'eloina brachos, Birchas Hayayin, Kiddush Hayom Shechiyanu. Okay, so far, off to the same start. Brei Pri Adama, number 4, Birchas Hayayin Sheomer Kishemisayim Hagada. Okay, so again, I'm not sure what that's about. Birchas Hayayin? Is that Brei Pri Hagafen? You don't make a bracha at the end of Magid? What was his nusach? You have to go through the Avudraham and see what his nusach is. Number 6 and 7, Hamotzi. And look what he says, what he calls number 7. V'lechol matzah. What bracha do we make on matzah? Asher kedushanu mitzvosa v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. Is the Avudraham saying that he suggests a different nusach? Asher kedushanu mitzvosa v'tzivanu lechol matzah? Not crazy at all. The big discussion. Psachim daf zayin. When do we say al? When do we say le? Right? Some brachos are le, and some brachos are al. So when do I say al? When do I say le? Could be he's saying that matzah, the correct brach would be lecho matzah, not al achilas matzah. Okay? But more or less, he seems to have the same seven brachos. Okay? Take a look now in the back of the pages. Turn to the Haggadah from Rav Moshe Wolfson. Did not have the strength to type it, so I photocopied it. And look what Rav Wolfson has to say. Very interesting. Rav Wolfson knows that, again, you don't really have seven. Right? You have more than seven. So he's trying to figure out for us, so what are you going to call the seven? What are you going to call the seven? And he introduces us, again, in Pnimius HaTorah to a Zohar. And not only is this idea found in the Rishonim, but this idea is found in the Zohar Kaddish. Okay, let's take a look on page Lamed Beis in the Yesiv Yifsach Haggadah. And at the bottom of the Yesiv Yifsach Haggadah, the Mechaber wasn't written by Rav Wolfson, but he collected the Torah teachings from the Emunah Sitecha of Moshe Wolfson Shlita, and he writes as follows: Isa Bazar Kaddish, Shebalela Seder Mevarchin Zayin Brachos Lufnei Achilas Amatz. Okay? The Zohar apparently has such an idea. You have to say seven brachos before you eat the matzah. Ki heim b'china zayin brachos from avarchem ala kala. Ki kala below bracha asur labala. Okay? Good? Ba'alkein isab Yerushalmi sha'ocha matzah b'er pesach kabbalah arsal sabes chamav. Says the Chok Yaakov. Ba'chok Yaakov maybe sh'neskashu apoiskim b'minina zayin brachos. Many different approaches. How do you calculate the seven brachos? We saw the Abu Dram. We saw what we see just now. The Shibboleth Aleket. Okay? Others have different lists. Other posts can discuss it. The Chok Yaakov, which is an important sefer, on Hilchos Pesach. The Chok Yaakov says many posts can bring different calculations. Ki l'chora are yesh yosef. Ki tes brachos mevarchel lefnei achilas ha-matzah. Maybe as many as nine brachos. Right? Add an extra hagafen. Add rachsa, netilas yadayim. Ve'hevi, the Chok Yaakov brings the yesh omer. So some take out the Hadama by Karpas. Okay, not sure why. Some take out Shechianu. Also, not sure why. The Havi Od Kama Deos Binyan Zay brings different opinions. V'siyim al zeh she'ein sarach l'chol ha-dechukim ha'eli. You don't need to come up with all these dachuk explanations. The Chok Yaakov says, I'll tell you pashut. I'll tell you pashut what it means. You're bothered. There's nine brachos, not really seven brachos. You know what the Chok Yaakov says? The af sheish yosher mizayin brachos, afili hachi ka'amr zayin brachos. Who says you can't have more than seven brachos? A kala becomes permitted when? After seven brachos. Matzah becomes permitted when? After seven brachos. Oh, but it's nine brachos before you get the matzah. Okay, no problem. No problem. You have seven brachos. You have at least seven brachos. Sharei yesh b'chlal v'sayim mana. Within 200 is 100. So if you have 9, so you certainly have 7. Ve'hevi rayesh matzino kiyotze b'zeb Ramah. He quotes a very interesting source for this. The Ramah in Orachayim reish samach dalid by Hilchos Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. She'acholim lahosif al beiz Neros Shem adlikin k'neged zachar v'shavar. Right? You have to light 2 candles on Shabbos, 4 Shabbos. Zachar, 1 k'neged zachar, 1 k'neged shamor. So do I take away from that idea of Zachar and Shamar if I light 10 candles? In our house, we light 1 candle for each person. Okay? So how many is that now? 6? 4 children, 2 parents, we light 6 candles. Plus my daughter's light, because we're Lubavitch. So they start lighting when they're 3 years old. Okay? So we have more than 6 candles. We have 9 candles. So what's the story? I thought Zohar and Shamar, 2 candles. So says the Chok Yaakov, says the Ramah. That doesn't take away if you have more than 2 candles. Ki eino osafa mikalkelas haremez. This remez, this notion of Zohar and Shamar being expressed by these 2 Shabbos candles is not ruined by 20 Shabbos candles. It's not ruined by 100 Shabbos candles. That's what the Chok Yaakov suggests based on the Ramah. So even though we do have a concept called Mosif Goreya, Gemara in Sanhedrin, sometimes adding on detracts, adding on more light on Shabbos certainly doesn't detract. Doesn't ruin this notion, this mention, this idea of Zachar v'Shamar. Says Rav Wolfson, I'll say better. Because Rav Wolfson always says better. Rav Wolfson is the best. If you don't know who Rav Moshe Wolfson is, and you don't know from his farm, you should get involved with them in a serious way. He was the person who got me into Hasidus more than anyone else. His farm are totally earth-shattering. And he always has a unique perspective on things in a very deep way. Says Rav Wolfson, Mikol makom ledaiti benidon didan ein lomar kein. I don't like this pshat. I don't like this casualness of saying, yeah, 9 brachas, 7 brachas. As long as you have at least 7 brachas, you're good. Debishla mahasam by neres shabbos madlikim ner miyuchad keneged zachar v'shamar. You have a candle for zachar and you have a candle for shamar. Ve'ein b'minyan shel tziruf cheshbon. And that's it. There's no precise calculation. You're not going for a number. You need a candle for zachar and a candle for shamar. As far as the number of candles, there is no number that we're aiming for. But here, when we talk about 7 brachos by a kala, and now we're making that comparison to matzah, the number 7 is a precise number. And he brings a proof. Here we're going for 7 brachos. We want this inyan of 7 brachos to be expressed, as we find in various places in Chazal. For example, Chazal say that a person should have a sviya, a satiation, from smachos. That's a pasuk. Chazal understand that that same lashon of sviya is also merames to sheva. So therefore, the simcha has to have what? Milashon sheva. Sheva brachos. V'chein v'pasuk. Sheva b'yom. 7 times a day, hilal ticha, I will praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Gemara knows. Shadar shu'al zayin brachos kriyashma. The person has to make 7 brachos before he gets to Shmoneh Esrei. So also over there, that number seven, we're going Sheva Bayom. We're looking for seven brachos. By a wedding, we're looking for seven, but we're not looking for at least seven brachos. There's an Indian of Soveya Smachos, Sheva, a set, right? A Sviya and a Sheva, linked. We want seven brachos precisely. So Heich Shaykh Lavarich Yoser Velomar, turn the page. Sheesh Bechlam Masayim Mana. So how can we say here that as long as you have at least seven, it's good enough? That's not the var. And Rav Wolfson, who's very big on gematria, says Vim Tomar Kain Ain Shaykh Shum Gematria. You can't say any Ramazim because nothing's precise anymore. Shereinu Tzarach Lios Lafia Cheshbon Kiyesh Bechlam Masayim Mana. I can say every gematria can be off by, you know, as long as you have at least, right? I say the gematria of matzah is Torah. So you'll say, what do you mean? Torah is 611, and matzah is 135. Yeah, but within 611 is 135. Mamash, beautiful gematria. That's a joke. So Rav Wolfson says, where's the precision? Oh, so look what he says. Amnah matzati b'sefer echad mi'echad mekubalim. What does it mean, seven brachos by the matzah? Again, whenever we have to squeeze out an answer, there's always a better answer. So Rav Wolfson says, I'll tell you the better answer. The better answer is the following. Seven brachos before what? Before the kala comes out from under her veil, the bedekin, which according to Tosfos and Yomah Daf Yud Gimel is chuppah. Okay, remember we saw that shita. So seven brachos before the kala exposes herself, comes out from under the veil. So now me'at the Yuvan Shapir. So says Rav Wolfson, look how precise it is. Ki ha'inyan hu shazayin brachos mevarchim kol zman shamatza mechusa. You make seven brachos before what? Before the kala, who you're going to marry on the night of Pesach, which is what? The matzah that you're going to marry. Until the matzah comes out from under its veil, until you uncover the matzahs, you make seven brachas. Shehu, kisod kisoy pnei akal b'chuppah. In Pnimiyas HaTorah. In Sozos HaTorah, says Rav Wolfson, the covering of the matzah is very much connected to the covering of the kala in preparation for the chuppah. Ukemavur sod einyan bizar kadosh. The Zohar apparently discusses this connection. In addition to obviously the more common reason that we know that the kala covers her face. So therefore, seven brachos leading up to the matzah. Then we uncover the matzah and we recite the brachos of what? Hamotzi v'alachilas matzah. The elu beis brachos lo kachashav v'minin zayin brachos. So don't tell me nine. We have seven precisely before the kala comes out. Ki oz kvar ein tzarech hamatzah lios mechusa. So if you'll say, wait a minute. What do you mean the matzah? There are points in the Haggadah. If you're following along in a Maxwell House Haggadah shall pass, right? Haggadah shall pass over. It says what? Cover the matzahs, uncover the matzahs, cover the matzahs, lift the glass, cover the matzahs, uncover the matzahs. So what do you mean the matzah doesn't come out until motzi matzah? So, v'af l'fi amuv v'divrei apoiskim. Even though, if you'll ask your posek, whatever Haggadah you're using, which tells you the cues, legalis ha-matzah v'ac p'ritzias p'sayim, to uncover the matzahs, Karkasa Balatanya, if you really know how to do it properly, the Balatanya says in his siddur, Shiagala Miktas. You only uncover the matzah a little bit. You need to peek at the matzah. The same way that the kala's veil is not so thick in most circles that you can't see her at all. You can see a little bit of the kala. Right? But you don't lift the veil up entirely. Adayin Rova Matzah Machusa, and again that is part of the sod of Kisoy Panerka. Okay, so even though the Rishonim are working diligently to figure out what are the seven brachos, says Rav Moshe Wolfson, it's not a question at all. Seven brachos leading up to motzi matzah, and then the kala comes out from under the veil, and that's when you engage the matzah in achila, which we're going to see is somewhat like the bia that takes place between the chas and the kala at the proper time. Okay, a very very deep connection that takes place when a Jew eats matzah. Yeah, question, comment? You had your hand? No, Judah Max? No. Nothing? I thought you had your hand up. Okay, good. So we go weiter. Okay, beautiful. Now, what's the goal of not eating matzah on Erev Pesach? Why are we not eating matzah on Erev Pesach? Again, we have this Yerushalmi. It's a very terrible offense to do it. But what are we trying to accomplish? It's not only about not getting full. That's the Mishnah in Arbei Pesachim. That don't eat even matzah ashira, says Tosfos, because you're going to fill up on that. So what are we trying to accomplish by not eating the matzah on Erev Pesach? Again, we don't yet know exactly what the time frame of Erev Pesach is. Does that start the night before? Does that start the morning of Pesach? Does that start the afternoon of Pesach? Does that start from Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Some people have a minhag. Some people don't eat matzah all year round. So we'll have to see. Yes, question.
If the whole din is that you want to have an appetite for matzah because you want to like be special, then should you not be able to like eat?
Oh, so I like what you said. Right? You said you should have an appetite for matzah. You changed from Pesach to matzah, which is exactly that mistake was a good point.
Well, yeah, I didn't even
that was a good point. Because that's exactly the question. There might be a difference between being generally hungry and being hungry for matzah. Let's see. Take a look at the Rambam. And I think you'll have your answer right away. The Rambam, source 14. Asru chacham lecho matzah be'er Pesach, kedei shiye heker la'achilasa be'er. Very interesting. What does that sound like? What does that remind you of? Stop eating the matzah on Erev Pesach that should be something recognizable when you get to be'er of tochlu matzah. So what does that sound like? What does it remind you of? There should be a heker. What does it remind you of? No, nothing? Maybe I'm off. I think shofar. Right? I think we stop blowing the shofar on Erev Pesach. Oh, not Erev Pesach. On Erev Rosh Hashanah. That what? So one approach is to confuse the Satan. Another approach is that what? That there should be a heker, something to distinguish between the minhag of blowing shofar throughout the month of Elul and the mitzvah of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We want to create a heker, something recognizable. So it could be that that's what the Rambam is saying here. We want to make it recognizable that maybe you like eating matzah all year round. Because then, hey, enjoy yourself. No problem. You're allowed to eat matzah all year round. Again, there are some tzaddikim who mamish don't touch matzah except on Pesach. The truth is, the Svarim actually asked on that minhag, on that practice, which is a very righteous practice, to really save the matzah only for the right moment. And again, that fits nicely with this theme of not engaging the matzah too early. But what's the question on that approach? If you don't eat matzah all year round, what question do you have on a person who refrains from eating matzah all year round? Shabbachol halelos anu ochlim chamet umatzah. What? What do you mean? I thought the big tzaddikim don't eat matzah. I thought they don't eat matzah on a random shalash shudis in the middle of the winter. Because they're saving the matzah. So what do you mean, b'chol halelos? I can eat chametz or matzah.
Theoretically, it's permitted.
Okay, but it's interesting. It actually is discussed in Sar. But the Rambam says we want to create a heker. We want to distinguish between regular matzah that you're just eating for kicks all year round and matzos mitzvah that you're eating at the night. And then the Rambam, further on, brings up the notion, again, the idea where it's bolded, kedei lecho matzah b'tayva, that a person should eat the matzah with a hearty appetite. Okay, this idea of eating the matzah b'tayavon is something the Meiri also reflects in Source 15. The Meiri says, b'kol makom l'dateinu achilas matzah b'chol hayom michu'ar. It would be repulsive to eat matzah the entire day of Erev Pesach. We'll come back to those words, b'chol hayom. Why? Shemishum te'avo nemra, v'chol shemale kreiso mimenu parach te'avono. If a person fills up, he's not going to have a taiva for it. The waiting makes it so special. So the Meiri says that again, the Rambam's first point, he seems to emphasize this idea of heker, to distinguish between matzah of rishus and matzah's mitzvah. But the Meiri says more than that. There's a certain taiva, a certain longing and desire that a person should have for the matzah when he gets there, and we don't want to spoil it. And that's what Chazal were trying to create by creating that buffer zone between man and matzah on Erev Pesach. Okay, and that's why they describe it in such severe terms, because you're going to ruin the night if you jump the gun. It's going to ruin the experience. I'll show you one other explanation of the severity of eating matzah on Erev Pesach, what we're trying to accomplish. There's a pasuk in Torah that says be'erev tochlu matzos. Mikey mentioned it earlier. It's verse 16. Shmos Perakid Beis. Yeah? Be'erev tochlu matzos. Could we go so far as to say that a person who eats matzah early is not only in violation of midrabanan, but midaraisa is over an isra asei of be'erev tochlu matzos? Could we say such a thing?
No.
Maybe. There was a rishon who lived in the middle of the 1100s. Known as the Sefer HaManik. That was his famous work. Rav Avram ben Natan. Avram ben Nofam. Okay, the Sefer HaManik. The Sefer HaManik, he also lived in Provence, in southern France. The Sefer HaManik is his famous work, very interesting work, where he records many minhagim. I actually own a set of the Manik. It's at my parents' house, which shows you how often I use it. I think I've probably opened it twice in my life. But it's a good Sefer to have. It's an important work from the Chachmei Ashkenaz. He also wrote... He's known as the Ravan Hayarchi. Right? Hayarchi. Why is he called Ravan Hayarchi? Because he was probably born in Lunil. Lunil in France, which is from Lunes, which is the moon. Right? That's why Rashi is sometimes called Rabbi Shlomo. Really, it's Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki. Right? But Rashi also, some people say, is Lashon Yud is me, Lashon Yerech, because Luniel, Lunes, and France, and moons, and things like that. Okay, but we know it's Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki. That's really Rabbi Shlomo Ben Yitzchak. But the Ravan Hayarchi, Rabbi Avram Ben Natan Hayarchi, is a reference to the Manik. So the Sefer HaManik, he also wrote a commentary, or a partial commentary, on Kala Rabasi. What is Kala Rabasi? Where do you find Maseches Kala? Anyone know? In the back of Gemara Avodah Zarah, by the Masechtos Ketanos. One of the Masechtos Ketanos is called Maseches Kala. There's a short version, and then there's a long version called Kala Rabasi. The Sefer HaManik, the Ravan Hayarchi, wrote a commentary on that. You know what he writes there? Now, why is it in Maseches Kala? You should know the answer to this question. Because where is the source for Kala below Bracha Asura Labala Kanida? It's the very beginning of Maseches Kala. We looked at it long ago. Okay? So over there he says, a person who eats matzah early is like a person who engages his fiancé too early. So says the Manik, says the Baal HaManik. Rav Hayarchi says, Be'erev tochlu matzos, a person who eats matzah early is in violation of an Isser Da'araisa. Isser Da'araisa? What's the Isser Da'araisa? The Torah says, Be'erev tochlu matzos. And if you eat it, now obviously we're not going to extend that to the entire year, but if you're on the day that precedes the Erev of tochlu matzos and you jump the gun, right, for that amount of time, that limited amount of time leading up to Be'erev tochlu matzos, that is an Isser Aseh. You have violated the mitzvah sasei of the Erev Tochlu Matzos. Very intense. Daraisa. What's fascinating is, in the comparison, does that mean that a person who's Boa Arusasa is also in violation of an Isra Daraisa? What did the Rambam write in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph? When a person has Erusin, Midaraisa, he's allowed to have Bia with her. It's only Midarabana that he's not allowed to. Right? And we said that that's the sheet of Rov Rishonim. The Ravid, we pointed out once, the Ravid holds that Midaraisa, you're not allowed to have Bia after Erisin. But according to what the Manik is writing here, it's very beautiful. The Manik say, if really Be'erev Tochlu Matzos is the Daraisa that tells you you can't jump the gun on Matzah, so maybe if the comparison is very precise, it could be, like the Ravid says, that a person who has Bia prematurely, even after Erisin, is in violation of Nisr Daraisa. Normally we assume it's Darabah. And in fact, the Nusach HaBracha that we say at a wedding reflects that. What do we say at a wedding? What's the Birchas Erisin? We say, She'asr lanu es ha'arusos. Who's asr lanu es ha'arusos? Who says you can't have relations with an arusa? So Rashi, in Ksumas Dav Zayin Ubeis, Midrabanan, She'gazra al yichud shel penuya. The same rabbis from Midrabanan said you can't have yichud with a single girl. They're the same rabbis who say, even after you engage her, you still can't be with her until you get to Nisuin. But that's only Midrabanan. Okay? But according to the Manik, we have perhaps a ismach, a support for those who hold that it's an Isser Daraisa. Yes? No?
Can't you only be over in Isser Aseh passively by not doing something?
No. Yeah. No. You could do something which is an Isser Aseh by fright, by failing, by doing something which is going against what you should be doing.
Right, but then you have to say that.
It's not only a failure to do. That's a bittul aseh.
Right,
a bittul aseh is when you don't do what you're supposed to do. An isser aseh is... Yeah, sorry, go.
But then wouldn't you have to say that having a taiva for matzah would be part of the kliyav? And if that's true, then what if you...
Okay, maybe.
Don't like matzah.
Too bad.
You don't have a taiva for it.
You have to love matzah. Matzah is your kala on the Seder night. You can't get married to someone you don't love. So, you're going to love your kala, Mirtz Hashem, at the right time, and you have to love matzah. You have an obligation to love matzah.
How do you love it?
You have an obligation to love matzah.
How do you love it?
Okay, tomorrow we'll pick up with part two. We'll find out exactly when this restriction takes effect. When can you have to halachically stop eating matzah? And then we'll talk a little bit in Pnimiyas HaTorah, what the deeper connection between man and his matzah is. Okay, Shkoyach.